From VOA Learning English, welcome back to As It Is. I'm Mario Ritter. Women are half the world's population. They can face barriers to economic independence and security. Today we hear about a program aimed at providing low-cost loans to women in India. We hear about a shocking rape in South Africa. But first, we learn about women peacekeepers in the Middle East. Along the border of Israel and Lebanon, female peacekeeping troops are active in the United Nations force that guards the area. Avi Arditi tells us more.
I think there is a little sprain of the knee. So,
Captain Annie is examining Gomo, a working security dog that lives at a base of the United Nations interim force in Lebanon. The captain is a medical specialist and one of about 30 women who live on this French base of 700 peacekeepers. They help to keep the border secure and assist the Lebanese government. Captain Annie, French soldiers don't use their last names, says she does not consider herself a female peacekeeper, but a member of the UN force. But she says being a woman does sometimes help.
The secret is to keep the smile and never raise the voice. And with a little bit softness and communication and patience, all is always good.
UNIFIL has a peacekeeping force of more than 11,000 troops in southern Lebanon. They come from 37 countries. In recent years, the United Nations has begun deploying women in greater numbers. Major Akriti Sharma is from Jammu and Kashmir.
As we all know, women are known for their compassion, for their warmth, for their understanding. And being women in uniform, it adds on to these factors, obviously. And apart from this, we can have a better access to the women, and they feel more comfortable with us. We act as a role model.
Women in UNIFIL serve on both the civilian and military forces, from helping with military planning to teaching French to Lebanese school children. Male and female peacekeepers live together, work together, and play sports together. Force Commander Eric of the French battalion says women help to bring security to an insecure area. In southern Lebanon, many people hold conservative ideas about the roles of the sexes. But UNIFIL's female peacekeepers say they get along well with the local community, men and women alike. I'm Avi Arditi.
India has struggled with microfinance, small business loans aimed at fighting poverty. In 2010, a number of borrowers took their own life in the state of Andhra Pradesh. The suicides led to protests against microlenders and the government. Now, Faith Lapidus tells us about a microfinance program that has had good results for Indian women.
It all started 8 years ago with a $1,000 loan to buy buffaloes. Shanaz Begum of Haryana State had never been employed. But with buffaloes, she suddenly had a source of earnings. It gave her a way to educate her children and a sense of power.
I have confidence now that being a woman, I can do something.
In India, only 26% of women are employed. In the area where Shanaz Begum lives, most women do not start businesses. In fact, they rarely leave their homes. T.K. Matthew established Palia in 1971. At first, the aim was to help educate children in extremely poor neighborhoods of New Delhi. He says years of work made him realize that the community's economic health is strongly tied to women.
And we realized they are a great strength.
Dipalia means House of Light. It only provides loans to groups of women who must first combine their savings to add to the loan. Mr. Matthew says Dipalia's borrowers are charged lower interest rates and given 20 months to repay the loan. He says so far there have been no payment failures among the 900 borrowing groups in three states. In 10 years, 13,000 women have started 7,000 businesses. The payments add to a $2 million fund that provides new loans. One woman was able to provide her husband with continuous employment after buying a horse-pulled vehicle with a microfinance loan. She now sees a difference in the way she is treated at home.
He used to fight with me. Now he respects me. Now he talks nicely to me and keeps me happy.
The Indian women say they also see a different future for their daughters. It involves education and employment. I'm Faith Lapidus.
A recent group rape and killing of a 17-year-old girl in South Africa has shocked the nation. Comparisons are being made between this sexual attack and one of a girl in New Delhi, India. A South African official says he hopes South Africa will take action against this kind of violence as India has. Steve Ember has more.
Anine Boyson was discovered at a building project in the Western Cape. A doctor reported she had been raped and cut from the stomach down. He said it appeared the attackers had pulled out some organs with their hands. The girl's injuries were so severe that hospital workers sought mental health counseling after treating her. Ms. Boyson died at the hospital a few days after the February attack. Before she died, the girl told police one of her attackers was her 22-year-old former boyfriend. Three others have been arrested. A study released in 2010 found that more than 25% of South African men have admitted to rape. One in seven men admitted to taking part in a group rape. Gender rights activist Dumisani Rebombo is one of those men. Today, he leads the One Man Can project. The group educates people in rural areas about rape. Mr. Rebombo says the lack of equality between women and men is a big reason for the high number of rapes. President Jacob Zuma has called for severe punishment for the attackers. Presidential spokesman Mac Maharaj said he hopes for effective changes.
Maybe in a perverse way, this is something that will trigger a reaction where the entire community, where society as a whole, government, police, the courts, and the communities working together will act in concert to stamp out this scourge in our society.
For As It Is, I'm Steve Ember.